Thank you.
Tim Carr is Senior Director of Strategy and Communications at Free Press, and his latest article is called "Can Anyone Stop Facebook from Poisoning Democracy?" I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And yes, I hear the irony in promoting those social media platforms, but our handle is RUWithSonali.
Rising Up with Sonali is hosted, written, and executive produced by Sonali Kohatkar. Anna Buss is the producer, technical director, and web and social media supervisor. Our theme music is by Grammy Award-winning band Gets Up. Like us on Facebook.com/RUWithSonali. That's the letters RU with Sonali. And follow us on Twitter.com/RUWithSonali. Our website is risingupwithsonali.com, where you can find all our programs archived and where you can get direct access to all our video and audio files.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 10 o'clock. Coming up next on Between the Covers, Bethany Grabo, interviews author Nadine Lachaminade. And at 11:30, it's Express Yourself. Host Jai interviews spoken word artist and poet Meech. Don't forget that you can hear all these programs after they air on KBOO.fm or on iTunes and Google Play. And if you want a third way to listen to all your favorite KBOO programming, download our mobile app today.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue unless otherwise noted. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday at 4:30 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is having our annual book and record sale on November 23, 2019 to raise funds with support from the Willamette Week Give Guide. The sale will be located at Lagunitas Portland Community Room at 237 Northeast Broadway from 12 p.m. until 9 p.m. From classic books to coffee table books to cookbooks, treasures will be waiting for your discovery and just in time for the holidays. Enjoy community music, activities, and a live broadcast from KBOO at the event. Proceeds from the sales will support the station's operations. Right now, KBOO is accepting used books and records in good condition. Now through Friday, November 15th, listeners, members, and supporters can drop off donations during business hours at the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. After hours, appointments can be made available. For more information, please call 503-231-8032 or go online to kboo.fm.
Good morning and welcome to Between the Covers. I'm your host, Bethany Grabo. Today's guest is author Nadine Lachaminade. Nadine, welcome to Between the Covers.
Hi.
Today we're talking about your book, The Gates of Eden, released in February 2019, that has been called a coming-of-age story, a harrowing account of immigration in the 19th century America, an exploration of religious faith and motivation, and a chilling and suspenseful depiction of conditions that can lead to the unspeakable in human behavior. Could you give us a summary of the book?
Yeah, the book is about a young woman named Josephine Bell, and she lives in Victorian England in Liverpool, and her family experienced a sudden fall from grace. They have a middle-class existence. Her father is a merchant, and they come into great poverty, and so they're destitute, and they hear the message of some Mormon missionaries. Mormons now, their church now is called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but they're usually known as Mormons. So the missionaries are promising a great land of abundance, a place where no one goes hungry, a place where blessings fall down like rain, you know, on the righteous. And they say that this can be had for a journey to the remote wilderness in Utah, in the Utah Territory. So Josephine and her mother embark on this epic journey, and they cross the ocean And in Iowa City, she is given a little two-wheeled handcart. And this is a tiny little contraption. It's a little bit like a wheelbarrow. So she and her mother push and pull this little handcart over several sets of mountain ranges and over the rutted dirt roads, and finally arrive in Salt Lake City in 1856. And in the shuffle for a home and a security, she ends up quite shortly after her arrival as the child bride of a much older Mormon polygamist. He's almost four decades older than her. And so there's some tensions with the first wife. The society that she has arrived to is not exactly what was promised. There's famine raging, there's a drought, and the Mormon Reformation is quite fierce taking place right then. It's a two-year period where the Mormon prophet Brigham Young wanted to fire up the faithful, fire up his base, you might say, and make sure that he ferreted out sin and that his people became more faithful. So church elders went door to door, ferreting out sin, asking people about whether they lusted after their neighbor's wife, whether they took an irrigation water out of turn, whether they grumbled against the authorities. And tens of thousands of people were rebaptized. Josephine ends up in a very small settlement in the outlying areas down in southern Utah. And she also at that time, it was a time of one of the most colorful and tragic times in the history of the American West. The federal government was sending soldiers on Utah to stamp out polygamy, and people in Utah were getting more and more fearful, more xenophobic, and quite nervous about the soldiers, about the outsiders coming in. And so the scene is set for tragedy, and that's what occurs.
There's a lot to unpack there. Thank you. The main character, as you mentioned, is Josephine Bell, and she's a teenage girl from Liverpool, and she and her mother travel to Utah to escape poverty. And as you said, Josephine and her family lived in middle-class Victorian comfort until the death of her father, and then the family plunges into poverty. Why did you choose that background for her, and how does it affect her character?
Oh, that's a great question. Each chapter begins with a letter from Josephine home to her sister in Liverpool. And I wanted the letters to be literate enough. I wanted her, you know, a lot of people did not have the opportunity to go to school. And so had she been born in destitution, she probably wouldn't have been able to read and write. And I needed her to be fairly articulate and be able to express herself through letters. So I made her, she did have some schooling before there, fall from grace financially.
And it did do her well, because she ends up as a school teacher when she gets to the to the settlement. So Josephine's two brothers do not approve of her and her mother's plans, and her sister Megan stays behind to be married to a young man. How does Josephine's separation from her siblings affect her?
Her two brothers taunt and jeer. They've heard rumors about polygamy. They've heard rumors about the Mormon prophet. And so they give her a hard time, and she becomes quite estranged from her as she leaves. On the other hand, her sister, she dearly loves, and they have a real deep bond, and it breaks her heart to leave her sister. And so after she leaves, there's, as I said, a series of letters between the two that compare their experiences. Although Josephine doesn't, she hides a lot in her letters.
Well, I think we can all relate to that, something that we decide to do when we're young, and then maybe it doesn't work out exactly how we thought, but we don't want to tell anybody because we don't want them to say, I told you so.
Yeah.
The letters are quite touching, just because she says at the end of each one, I miss you, or don't forget me. Please tell my brothers that we're okay. And they're nice. Josephine and her mother become close to some of the other travelers that go along with them. Do you have a favorite character?
Yes, I do. Sister Pert Maisie. And she was born into poverty, but she has a deep wisdom. She's kind of a wise old soul. And when I first wrote her into the script, I just needed a comedy, you know, a character who had comedic interest. Because they were undergoing so much hardship and I needed somebody to keep things light. But to my surprise, as an author, she evolved over the story and became a strong character who had a lot of wisdom. And I loved her character. I wanted to figure out who she was, so I looked at hundreds of photos of old pioneers to try to find her face. And I studied British slang from the 1850s, really, really studied that. And I read Dickens and just tried to get an idea of how she might speak. And she has a lot of colorful language. And after I'd heard enough slang, I could start making it up. And so, you know, when you die, you're pushing up daisies. And anyway, she has a lot of great lines. I love this woman.
She was my favorite, too. She was a real firecracker.
Uh-huh.
The book was inspired by accounts of your great-great-grandmother who made a similar journey to Josephine's. How did you find out about your family history?
Oh, you know, Mormons are record keepers, so they keep histories. And she left a memoir, handwritten memoir of several pages, only a few pages. And then her granddaughter took down her story late in life. And so I just had a little bit, some backbone to go on. You know, my great-great-grandmother also was a poor English girl who was raised during the period of when the cities were industrializing and there was great poverty. And she pushed a handcart. She had a horrible experience coming across the country with her handcart. And she ended up as a child bride when she arrived. She said she was waiting on the street for somebody to ask her home. And just within a few months, this 15-year-old had married a 54-year-old as his second wife. So she from there, my character takes a different turn. I just wanted to really use some of the historical elements that occurred then, and I wanted to make sure that my character had a real, played a part in those historical events and that there was a lot of interaction. But yeah, I also read hundreds of pioneer journals just to get a sense of the times. And I walked part of the Mormon Pioneer Trail and visited 1850s cabins. And yeah, it was interesting to try to trace the story and the lines of her life.
And you're a writer, but this is your first novel. Was this kind of when you found the story, or is it like, ooh, this is prime content for me to write something?
Yeah, I've always been interested in my family history, and in the history of this people who were so persecuted in. You know, when the religion first started, they were driven from state to state to state. There was an extermination order for them in one state where people were to kill them on sight. And they belonged to this religion that was started by a young man of 14 who went into the woods and came back with visions of God. And he must have been so charismatic. In fact, he convinced one of my great-great-great-grandmother to marry him, even though she was already married to someone else. But so you have this colorful people with a tragic, interesting, amazing history and so much courage among this people. So I wanted to write about their story, and I wanted to write with honesty, you know, revealing some of the underside of the Mormon history, but also to write with compassion because I'm no longer Mormon, but this is kind of my tribe.
For those of you just tuning in, we're speaking today with author Nadine Leshamina about her new book, The Gates of Eden. I had never heard of the handcart pioneers before, so that part was really fascinating to me. And as you said, they use these handcarts to haul their belongings over 1,200 miles from Iowa City to Utah. And you said they were kind of like wheelbarrows. I was trying to kind of picture in my mind what they look like. I was picturing a rickshaw, but that might...
Yeah. They're... Brigham Young designed them, and they were only used for 3 years. The experiment was hard. It was hard on people, but he was trying to find a way to get tens of thousands of impoverished converts over to his religious kingdom out in the desert in Utah. And he designed them after street sweepers' carts. And they were basically a little box, but a box big enough that could hold 500 pounds of supplies. And then on each side is a big wheel, and it has a crossbar, and you pull it from the front, and you can push it from the back. I picked up a crossbar and pulled just a little bit. I found one in original, and they are really heavy, really awkward and really heavy, and I cannot imagine someone pulling them up over a mountain range on a rutted road. It's just beyond me.
People were very dedicated when they felt like they had something to go for, I guess.
Yeah.
And you mentioned this when you were talking about the book. In the town where Josephine settles, there's a fear of federal soldiers rumored to be marching towards Utah to put an end to the practice of polygamy and their leaders' political power. It culminates in a tragedy known as the Mountain Meadows Massacre. Could you tell us a little about what happened?
Yeah, and it's a very complicated event. The Mormons had been hounded, persecuted, their barns had been burned, their wives violated, their children, husbands killed. And they came to Utah with a bit of a fear of outsiders. They also, there was a large wagon party that was passing through Utah. Brigham Young had warned the pioneers not to sell anything to the wagon trains anymore. So this large party's coming through. They have a lot more money than these poor, poor Mormons down in southern Utah in this remote settlement. They have 800 head of cattle, and they're headed for the oasis where the Mormons grazed their skinny cows. And they've just been through a drought. They're very worried about losing the grazing grounds. And they, through some series of miscommunication and horrible leadership and an apostle that fired everybody up with xenophobia and violent rhetoric, it resulted in a massacre of the wagon train. There were 120 people, and the only ones that weren't killed were the small children. And more than 100 Mormon men were involved in the massacre. It was a brutal slaughter. It's something that
participating in today's statewide earthquake drill as a part of the West Coast Great Shakeout exercise. Drop, cover, and hold on now and follow your post-earthquake drill procedures. This is only a test. The following tones will conclude this test.
I read in one history that the settlement emptied out. I could not find that piece of history again, but my understanding is that the towns just emptied out, that people wanted to flee the scene of this horrific crime. And decades later, Mormons still couldn't talk about it. If you were from that area, you didn't talk about it. in the 90s, the church president erected a monument there, and the ancestors of the people who were murdered and the local Mormons came, and they embraced and they wept and remembered this wagon train.
As I was reading about that massacre and kind of doing some research and learning about it, kind of a scary thing, I could picture this happening today. This kind of thing, yeah. Just kind of stirring up this fear and this rhetoric, and then having people kind of panic and feel like, oh, we have to do something to protect our town. One thing I thought was interesting, I was surprised to learn that Utah was the 45th state admitted to the Union in 1896. And it sounded like that had a lot to do with some of their religious practices that the government didn't agree with.
Mm-hmm. Polygamy was a big sticking point, and they abandoned the practice in 1890s because the federal government put so much pressure on them. So, yeah, there was a big brouhaha between the government and the Mormons. And it's interesting because after they abandoned the practice, there were a lot of Mormons who felt that their prophet had erred, had led them astray, and they continued to practice. And many went into hiding over the decade. Many went to prison for continuing to practice polygamy. And now there are tens of thousands of splinter groups, especially in southern Utah, Arizona, that still practice.
So on that same line, religion, specifically Mormonism, is a big part of the story. I read that you were raised in the Mormon faith, but later left the fold. What was your relationship with religion as a child?
Oh, you know, I was so devout. I just felt such a spiritual impulse and such a yearning for God. And I used to go off, you know, to the woods and pray by myself. And I think religion meant a great deal to me. Yeah.
How would you say your ideas about religion have evolved since then?
Yeah, well, some of the historical things bothered me when I found out about them when I was in my late teens, early 20s, and I felt more and more out of sync with the culture, even though I think there's much to admire about the Mormon culture. The people have a lot of integrity. They're good people. They're salt of the earth. But I did feel out of sync with some of the culture and some of the policies. So began a long evolution. And because religion had been such an incredibly important part of my life, I really wanted to find and something else, a place to land. And I visited many churches and read a lot and kind of had a long, long journey. I'm now an ordained Buddhist, and there's no deity, and it's kind of the opposite of Mormons, but I feel very comfortable in the lack of a box, you know, just it's more for me, it's more of a spiritual practice than a worship of God. It's about practicing meditation, practicing mindfulness.
So everybody knows something about Mormons. What's something that they know that is wrong?
I think that right now there's kind of a tension between some of the leaders and a lot of the membership, and it's over gay rights issues. The Mormons have come out right on this issue. For a while, children who had parents who were married and gay could not join the church, and so they would go to school and they might be the only kids in their class who couldn't be baptized. And so there was a lot of exclusion. But my sense is that Mormons on the whole are more compassionate than that, that many of them have children who are gay or transgender, and or they know somebody or somebody at work. And I think that there's a great deal of sympathy and empathy and feeling like they would like to see the church nudge to a more embrace, more welcoming stance. And a lot of people have left because of this, but I don't know if it will ever happen. But I would hate for people to paint people from the Church of Latter-day Saints, of Jesus, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, their new name that they want you to use. I would hate to see them painted with a bad stripe, because so many are really good people.
Let's talk about immigration a little bit. Josephine and her mother come to Utah to escape poverty and hunger, and many others did the same. In what ways are the handcart pioneers similar to today's refugees?
Yeah, these are good questions. The question about violent rhetoric and how it results in tragedy often, and the question of immigration, why people immigrate. I think they've always immigrated for the same reasons. They see opportunity, and they often leave poverty. And often it's not just poverty, it's survival. It's, you know, you see people leaving countries where their life is far, far worse than Victorian England, than industrialized, you know, an England that was industrializing, because people not only deal with poverty, but with violence. But it's the same urge we'll always have. Immigrants will always have people wanting to move around this earth, because they are fleeing circumstances that make it difficult to survive. So, and I think that's why historical fiction is really useful. It can inform how we talk about things. And you can see that, you know, this has always been part of the human condition, and it probably always will be. These issues of immigration, religious xenophobia, violence towards others.
I did want to talk about that. Your book is thoroughly researched, and obviously you know a lot about the subject. And the book talks about some sensitive subjects such as polygamy, divorce, religious violence, and persecution. Have you received any criticism from readers or others for the way that you broach these topics?
It's interesting. People who are not LDS often think that it's quite a sympathetic portrayal of Mormons. They came away understanding them better, having a deeper sense of who they were, and having an appreciation for their history and for their courage to launch out across half a world to go to a remote wilderness and make a life for themselves. So they feel that it's quite sympathetic. Some Mormons feel that it's not sympathetic, and I think they're uncomfortable with talk about the Mountain Meadows Massacre, some of the violence that occurred. Brigham Young, this was one of the reasons why my testimony of the church, my faith was first shaken. I came across some of his sermons when I was about 19, and they shocked me. There was so much violent rhetoric and so much racism and misogyny. I mean, he was a genius. He was an organizational genius. He was a colorful, folksy, charming man. And he also had, he would do whatever it took to get his way or to shape his people, you know.
I did wonder, when I was reading this, how they kind of had the money to bring these people from all over the world, you know, put them on ships and take them on this train, and then they built these hand carts and then brought these people to their society that they'd built. And I was thinking, how did they get the funding for that?
Yeah, that's a good question. They actually, this was the very cheapest way you could go. You load 500 Mormons on a ship that you, I think they hired the ship owners to take a whole shipload of converts over, and the handcarts did not cost a lot. All of them were handmade. And in general, wherever the early Mormons settled, they had a lot of industry, and they ended up doing well for themselves. I think that through their industry, they were able to raise money. And this was the very cheapest way that you could get tens of thousands of people have it across half the world.
You have a website at NadineLeCheminot.com. It has many images, both photographs and paintings of the era you describe in the book. So it's really interesting. Are there other ways readers can discover more about you and your work?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, on my website, it's www.NadineLeCheminot.com. And I know that nobody got that. But you can also just Google the Gates of Eden and Nadine, and it should get you to my website. There is a lot of information there. There are stories about my ancestors that weren't in the book, and like you said, a lot of archival images. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
and book club discussion questions
too. Yeah,
I appreciate you talking to me. Before we wrap things up, is there anything else you'd like to tell the listeners about your book, The Gates of Eden?
Yes, it is a coming of age story. It's about a young girl on the cusp of becoming a woman. And so she goes through all of these emotions. You know, she's battling faith and doubt and love and fear, and she falls in love. And she, you know, she's having all of these experiences that a young girl has. So it's very much a coming of age story, but it's also not exactly a story for children or teenagers. It's got some adult elements, and it's got a little bit of a harder edge to it, you might say. So the historical events in this 3-year period were pretty colorful and tragic, and I wanted to include that historical context. So it is a coming of age story, but not a typical one. But I think readers will enjoy it.
Nadine LeCheminot, thank you so much for talking with me today on Between the Covers.
Thank you, Bethany. I appreciate your interest, and it was great to be here.
Thank you for joining us today on Between the Covers. I'm your host, Bethany.
Coming up next, it's Express Yourself. Host Jai interviews spoken word artist and poet Meech.
Be sure to tune in this Thursday right before midnight for a very special broadcast celebrating 1979. Year in music. 40 years ago, some of the most influential artists were forming and releasing their seminal recordings, and our special guest Raven will be playing his favorites for you. Once again, be sure to tune in this Thursday, right before midnight, for our 1979 retrospective, right here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is having our annual book and record sale on November 23, 2019 to raise funds with support from the Willamette Week Give Guide. The sale will be located at Lagunitas Portland Community Room at 237 Northeast Broadway from 12 p.m. until 9 p.m. From classic books to coffee table books to cookbooks, treasures will be waiting for your discovery and just in time for the holidays. Enjoy community music, activities, and a live broadcast from KBOO at the event. Proceeds from the sales will support the station's operations. Right now, KBOO is accepting used books and records in good condition. Now through Friday, November 15th, listeners, members, and supporters can drop off donations during business hours at the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. After hours, appointments can be made available. For more information, please call 503-231-8032 or go online to kboo.fm.
What is up, everybody? You are now listening to KBOO Portland 90.7. You are tuned in to Express Yourself. I'm your host, Jai, and this show features talented spoken word artists, rappers, poets, and singers from around the Portland metropolitan area. On today's show, I'll be talking with Meech about his singing career and about his new EP that's coming out.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. What's up? What's up?
Glad to be here.
Bet.
What's going on?
So let's get to it. How long have you been writing?
Oh, That's a good question. I'd say I started actually writing at nine years old. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, but it was just like a hobby, and it wasn't anything that I did to try to like make a career out of. I just did it mm-hmm. for fun, you mm-hmm. know. So
yeah. That's kind of a long time though.
It is.
And that's early in life too. A lot of people don't start that early.
It is. You know, people don't know about it. You know, I got inspired by my dad. My dad did music, and he showed mm-hmm. me his music at that age. I was like, oh mm-hmm. shoot, like I wanna rap too. I wanna do that too. So I started writing a lot, but I just never took it serious. But in school, I always, you know, rapped at the lunch table or freestyled mm-hmm. or whatever it was. I just made sure that people knew I had bars or whatever it was. You know, I just did it for fun. It was always fun just having, making people smile, laugh, or go, oh, like, that's crazy, that's tight, you know? So that was from, like, middle school all the way throughout high school. I just kept with it. But I didn't actually start, recording music until, mm-hmm. College age, yeah.
Yeah. Dang, that's a long time.
Yeah.
So you said that your dad was a rapper back in the day. Do you ever, like, collab with him on songs? Or do you ever, like, rap or?
Yeah. I definitely collab with my dad as far as he gives me good feedback on my songs. So mm-hmm. whenever I record a song, freestyle, whatever, like, I'll send it to my dad and he'll be mm-hmm. like, oh, this is tight. Like, oh, that's fire.
Yeah.
But if it's anything, like, you might want to switch this around or tweak this. Just good advice to help the music sound better. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely. As far as like an actual collab, you know, we might have to cook something up. You know, get big Meech in the booth.
Expire something. Hey.
Yeah, you might need to just cook something up. Yeah.
So how long have you been actually like performing? Okay, so you say you started writing at nine, and so did you like start performing then too, like publicly, or was that like kind of later on when you started like performing?
Yeah. So at nine, I guess. As far as performing, like, I have, like, old home tapes of me, like, rapping on the camcorder.
Mm-hmm.
The raps were so corny. Like, I was 9 years old. But they're weak, but, you know. But as far as, like, performing, I guess I perform for my friends, mm-hmm. you know. At the lunch table, recess, in the classroom, you know, my teacher would always be, like, telling me to knock it off. Like, I said, that's enough. And I just, like, I'm sorry, I can't help that. It's, like, to rap.
Like, I'm just too nice. I'm too nice with it.
Yeah. So that was it. And then as far as performing, I did a few, like, a cappella freestyles, like, in high school at, mm-hmm. like, assemblies, prep rallies, stuff like that in mm-hmm. high school. So, and then in college, not so much. It was more just focused on, like, sports and whatnot in school. So I didn't really perform a whole lot. But, mm-hmm. But at churches.
So how often do you perform?
I just had a performance last week at this it was a benefit for this Africa missions trip.
Oh, nice.
So it was basically a concert, and a lot of people performed. Mm-hmm. People came out and basically just came out, had a good time, and made contributions if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, hopefully with this new music that I'm putting out, this EP that's coming up, I will be able to have some more performances and be mm-hmm. able to put myself out there more.
Yeah. So you mentioned an EP
mm-hmm.
coming out.
It's coming out. It's coming out soon. It should be releasing later this month of August. It's a good mix, so it got some slower songs on there, mm-hmm. some good content, some mm-hmm. hype songs. It's mm-hmm. just a good overall mix to where you can have it on rotate.
Yeah.
None of the songs are crazy long, so I think what you find is, like, most listeners nowadays, their attention span is getting shorter.
It is short.
So you have to make slaps within a shorter time frame. So that's one thing I'm trying to do is make good quality music, but within that time. So
Yeah,
I'm excited. It's my first EP since 2013. So
ooh.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think I've improved a lot with my music as far as its quality, as far as content, flow, delivery, all that. It's just way better than when I first started recording. So I'm mm-hmm. excited to share some music with everybody.
Yeah. We'll continue our EP talk a little bit later in the show. But as far as like your beats, do you produce your own beats? Do you write them or
mm-hmm.
do you have people do it for you?
Yeah. So I have a producer. He goes by the name of Sanaj. He lives in Louisiana, and so I know him through a mutual family friend, and mm-hmm. he just hit me up and was like, hey, yo, like, I want to make some beats for you. Because he saw that I was doing these weekly, like, freestyle videos on my Instagram. And he's like, I want to send you some beats. And so he started sending me some fire. Then I have another close friend. His name is Dante. And he makes some fire beats as well that he just... You know, we work together. He collabs. He asks me kind of what sound I'm going for. And yeah, it really is a blessing.
Okay, so you go by the name Meech. And so I kind of know what that is. But can you let the listeners know, like, how that name came about?
Yeah. So just coming up with a rap name. So my first name is Demetrius. So if you kind of say it slow, it's Demeech. So you hear the Meech within Demetrius.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a short little... piece of my real first name, which is Demetrius, and then Meech Rhodes is the full rap name, my last name Rhodes. So yeah, that's basically it.
Okay, I know I'm like super eager to like listen to like some of your stuff, so let's hop into the first song that you'll be sharing. What's the name of that song and like what kind of inspired it?
Yeah, so the first one is called Can't Stop, and really what inspired this song is that this is one of the first songs that I recorded recently. And really, if you listen to the song, it's a message saying that, you know, this is music is something that I've always wanted to do, something that I've always loved. And regardless of, like, what people say or, like, how I'm feeling, like, I don't need to be doing this.
Yeah.
Like, I can't stop doing it because I just can't. Like, there's a purpose behind it. There's a reason that I'm doing music. And so, and then also there's a message within that saying that, like, you can't stop. Like, whatever you're doing, your work, your hobbies, your dreams, your goals, ambitions, or whatever is placed on your heart that you want to pursue, like, you can't stop it. So that's what the song is called, Can't Stop. And so hopefully it motivates people. It inspires people, and it kind of pushes them along the way.
Yeah, that's really dope. Yeah. Y'all, right now, you're about to listen to Can't Stop.
Doubt me, they must not know much about me. My flow is so astounding, I'm the coldest in the county. God is on my side, I tell the devil, get from around me. Go gorilla on the regular, in the jungle they found me. Why they wanna stop me if they see I'm rocking golly? Keep you 1K every day, oh, I ain't never been a copy. Keep my guard up, my enemies is trying to stop me. I be soaring like I'm Jordan, I'ma punch it if they lie me. Understand that I'ma keep on grinding and shining, working so hard and putting the time in. I cannot give up, that's not an option. I cannot stop, you can see that I'm locked in. I don't even know what you would call this, but I'm rocking like I'm Harden with the office. I'ma keep on walking and McCollin. They could try to block it, but I'ma shine regardless. Oh, stop, not to the finish. But I don't care about none of that, cause I'm really with it. In the studio with a tux on, I'm really about my business. I feel like Popeye when he went and found it spinning. Give my heart to Jesus Christ, cause he's the reason that I'm living. God, the reason that I'm winning. I got all my sins forgiven. I ain't saying that I'm perfect, I'm just trying to make a difference. Whoa. I gotta stay consistent with it, you already know. On a mission with a vision, man, I'm tryna hit these goals. Time is ticking, I'ma get it till it's gone. Ain't no reason for me quitting, I can never sell my soul. I got too much on the line to stop, a lot to drop. My time is now, man, I'm about to pop. Oh,
Wow. That's legit all I can say.
Some heat?
Yeah, no, that was legit.
Yeah, thank you, I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, that was really dope. Do you typically write first and then add the beat later, or do you listen to the beat and then write the words to it?
I listen to the beat.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I feel like the beat dictates the mood or the emotion of what the song is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I just write just to write, and mm-hmm. if it goes with the beat, it goes. But, mm-hmm. I feel like for me, it's easier just to hear the beat and then be inspired by that.
Yeah. If you are just now tuning in, you're listening to Express Yourself here on KBOO Community Radio. I'm here talking to Portland-based artist Meech about his soon-to-be-released EP and about his journey to rapping.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah.
As you
are
already here.
Uh-huh.
Do you write often?
Yeah, I write often, especially now that, working on just new music. I feel like I write every week, probably more than ever. I think, since the new year started, one of my goals was just to be consistent with music, whether that's dropping freestyles, new music, writing. And I feel like, for the most part, I've been pretty consistent with that goal.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so, y'all, we're going to transition to his next song, which is entitled...
Holy Moly.
And what is that about?
Yeah, so Holy Moly is you just listen to it, and at the end of the song, you'll be like, dang, holy moly, dang, there's so many bars in there.
Oh.
You can't be stopped. Yeah, it's a lot of bars in that song. And it's just, it's a hard beat, a lot of hard bars in there. It's just people's jaws be dropped when they get finished listening to it because they're in shock. But in all seriousness, it's just a fun song. I'll let y'all spin that.
Yeah. What is it about?
I think for me, I like music that makes me go wow. Or I like hearing lines to go oh, well, shoot. I actually had to think about that versus just people just saying random corny stuff.
No, I feel
that. Similes, metaphors, different hyperboles, just things that make you mind blowing you.
Yeah.
Hopefully with this song, that's what I tried to do.
And so the song that we just heard, is that one going to be featured on your EP?
Yep.
Yeah? And then this one's another one that's going to be on your EP?
Yep.
All right, y'all. Here it is. Holy Moly.
Look, got the game on lock and I lost the key. Dang, guess I gotta hang. I'ma call it keeps. How you gonna stop a beast? I'm a Rottweiler off the leash. I'm off a G, my ammo tough and armory got all the heat. Ugh, I ain't trying to waste no time. 25 and I ain't even hit my prime. In the pain with the rock, all I drop is dimes. I be spilling facts if you win it, that won't hit my line. I be in the field, you don't need to know my name. How do I be shining main and I don't even own a chain? Got the light of Christ on me and I aim in an open range. About to blow a vein, you don't know the pain that I overcame. Son of God, so why would I lie? In the jungle, gotta be humble and swallow my pride. Lead the other youth, so I follow the wise. The flow cold, so when it snows, it's not a surprise. C4 bars, watch them detonate. Composition clean, I keep it a beam. It resonates, never hesitated. I'm dedicated to tell it straight. Pray and meditate, that's the way that I medicate. Official in the game, so I guess I gotta regulate. Got so many bars in the arsenal, I just delegate. The hardest soul to harvest, I'm reaping is deep and set in faith. Most fluent like Joe Lewis, I'm moving heavyweight. God told me I gotta keep going, I can never break. I level up and elevate, escalate like I'm escalate. And one mixtape, I devastate the competition feather. Wait, never replicate, I keep it authentic all 7 days. I got to thinking to myself, is this worth it?
Is it worth it?
What they understand my purpose? What they feel me when they heard us? A swerve it, I'm not so certain. Then it hit me, I don't do this for people, I'm God's servant.
Let's go!
Making moves, I ain't really bout noise. I'm now poised, fresher than an Altoid. Thou should not chase clout, that's not the route, boy. I've been ballin' since Biddy up at the South, boy. Raw on the mic, that's why I ain't lost in my life. Flow cold and sickin', man, I be coughing up ice. Get the stew, burn it up, then I call it a night. Talk to me nice, I'm on cause I'm rockin' with Christ. Never losing my execution as sharp as a knife. The only reason that I'm breathing, I got God on my side. I'm really about this life, on God, it's not a disguise. Not a facade, my squad is the hottest alive.
Yeah, that one, I'm definitely saying Holy Moly for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. I really like that. And like you said, like the hyperboles, the similes, and the metaphors, like that just put everything together. You said you're fresher than an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's a visual. People can see how fresh that is.
Yeah, I said, I've been balling since Biddy up at the Sal, boy. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't know, Biddy Ball League at the Salvation Army, it's a little basketball league for little kids. Yeah. I said, I've been balling since back then, but you know, you got to be a Portland native or just be around to know what that even that is.
Yeah.
So the more you listen to the song, the more like bars will hit you like all of a sudden, because you know, you probably won't catch everything the first time, but yeah.
At one point you said, I'm in the paint and all I'll drop is dimes. I feel like that's like another Portland thing too, is like as a kid, like I feel like all of us just ended up playing basketball at some point, and so like that was like our childhood growing up, and I feel like that's like definitely a Portland thing.
Yeah, basketball is a big Portland, it's big in the Portland culture.
It is.
And
it
even
is.
In the urban community in general, basketball is such a big thing. You know, I play basketball, and so I use a lot of basketball lines, because I just know more people can relate to it to listen to it, so I try to draw some basketball bars.
That went hard for real. Like, I really enjoyed that. Cool. Okay, so now I'm gonna put your bars to the test.
Okay,
it's time to freestyle.
Okay, what's up?
So I have this beat that you sent me that I'm gonna play in the background, and you're just gonna let it ride.
I'm just gonna let it ride.
You're just gonna let it ride. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Ball on a regular, ISO on my competitors. God-given abilities, enemies cannot mess with us. Not my profession, but give lessons to the hecklers. I'm just a messenger, but flow smooth like a Tesla. This medicine is heaven sent. Ever since I've been seven, it's evident that I was blessed with it, so I will never quit. Lyrically intelligent, you could tell by my rhetoric. Quick to pull it at any moment, I'm never hesitant. Sharp shooter, my nickname should be Switchblade. Got so many highlights, it can't fit up on no mixtape. I got a big faith, blocking haters like I'm 6'8". See the competition, but to me, it's just a quick plate. You know what time it is, I'm confident and dominant. Prominent for rhyming with diamonds, find them when dropping it. Check my sinuses because I spit it like I'm kinda sick. God on my side, who winning? It's kinda common sense. Trying to shine my light to the people, it's really hard to miss it. Even from the farthest distance, you can see me often glisten. The audience will be replenished by the time I finish. Honestly, my opponents can't stop me, yo, I'm on a mission. Time is ticking, I gotta get it. I'm a top contender. Any shot I shoot is a high percentage, I'm not gonna miss it. I could dish it like Scottie Pippen, I'm about my business. Praise to the Most High on the opposition. God is living, got me feeling optimistic. It's body risen. All audience to stop and listen, not to mention I'm a team player like Scottie Pippen, staying in my word, putting work on the opposition. Young Meech got that flow on the K-Boo show. Yep, got my girl Jai chilling with the flows. Gotta do my thing, I'm from the city of the rose. Like I told y'all, spit a cold, got them all frozen. I'm chosen, nope, I'm golden. Gotta do my thing, going fast, never slowing. Gotta do my thing, throwing like Hulk Hogan. Yep, this is how I gotta do it. Gotta spit it fluid, who the smoothest, who the coolest. How I do it, I'm fluent. The flows is drooling, that mean I'm just doing, I'm doing me, I'm doing G, I'm doing things you can't see, cause I stay on my low key, on a low key tip, I'm so strip, I'm so, let me get it down, let me show how I spit it round, I'm just spitting rounds, off of the top of the dome, I don't even write it down, I got the nicest sound, tell the police to quiet down, cause they all on my back trying to stop me, they see Young Meech, I do my thing, staying rocky, that mean I shine bling, gotta do my thing, in the middle of the ring with the 215, yep, that's Muhammad Ali, because the flow is great, sting like a butterfly. Oops, I mean a butterfly. Oops, I'm the other guy. I don't like the trouble. Why? Let me say how I do it. I got the bubble. Why? Smooth as butter, smooth as yogurt. I got my thing, got them frozen like an ogre. I'm like Shrek, I am a beast. Got my own lot, my own, but I don't know donkeys on me, cause I be stinting on my throne. Sorry if I messed up, but I don't really got no clones. I stay true to me and I just stay up in my zone. Stay up in my zone, man. I don't like no clones. Let me tell you how I do it. About to take the throne. Like I said, 503. My city where I be from. Yep, I'm in their head like a bee stung. Bee sting, oop, I mean things. I don't mean to say popping out like 3D. I make it look easy. A lot of these suckers wanna be me, but they can't be me, cause it's only one me. It's one me, yep. Better bungee tuck, bungee jump over these beats, cause I'm that high, that fly. I'm that guy that you wish you was. I'm just playing cause the flow, yep, I got it, yep. Like I have to say, K-Boo all day, what you wanna say? What you trying to play? Nope, I don't play no games. Like I got a bye week. You don't want to try me. I got all my flow and I gotta keep it icy. A lot of people don't like me. Why? I don't know why. Maybe because my flow is way, way ahead of them. They can't mess with him because I do it on a regular. No competitors because I do this so fresh. Staying on my team. Don't put me into the test. I got bar for days and my car just sways in lanes. Do my thing. I don't even like to change. I don't gang bang, but I'm covered by the blood. You know what that means? Yep, you know what it was. I'm from the city of the town that is great. I ball like I'm Dane, staying in the game. I don't like change. I just like big rings. I got the big range, swerving in the lot. I'm just playing. Then the beat stopped. A little freestyle right there.
Whoa, that was a cool 4 minutes.
Okay, see?
Off the dome.
Off the dome.
Off the dome. Like, that was, y'all, I cannot make this up. He wasn't looking at anything. That was, like, all him.
No pad, no pen.
No pad, no pen. No rehearsal. This was Mm-mm. it.
No, nope. She put me on the spot. She put me on the spot.
You came through. You came through for real. Mister got that flow. He was ready to go. He wasn't playing games, y'all. Nah. He wasn't playing games. As you said, you ain't here to play games.
Nope. We here.
Y'all. He was like, that was good. That was really good. Obviously, I'm speechless. I have nothing to say.
Hey.
That was dope, though.
You know, I appreciate it.
Yes. Dang. That was Meech Rose freestyling off the dome, y'all. Right here on Express Yourself. So let's talk more about your EP. So it releases soon. You said at the end of August, right?
Yep, the end of August. It'll be dropping.
You dropping. And so where can listeners find that EP?
Pretty much on anything that they like listening to, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, mm-hmm. Apple Music, Pandora, SoundCloud, all that. It'll be mm-hmm. on all those platforms. So, I try to make it as accessible as possible. Mm-hmm. I know everybody likes to use music differently. Some like YouTube, it'll be on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what, like, inspired you to write this EP?
I think the big thing was that I just needed to reinvent myself mm-hmm. as an artist. My first EP I dropped was back in 2013, and it was good, but I just feel like I've grown so much since then that I want to release music that I'm proud of, that people can relate to, and that people can listen to and feel inspired to. So that's the goal of this. A lot of people from the town, like, know me. They know, like, freestyle and rap for fun and stuff, but as an artist, they're not as familiar with my actual work. So that's what the goal of this EP is, to kind of wake people up, getting familiar with what I do, then kind of get them ready for the big album that's coming a little bit later, 2020. So
Well, I'm glad you brought up the album.
Yeah.
And so you said it's coming out in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners can be looking out for that.
Yeah.
And that's also going to be on, like, all platforms.
All platforms.
Things like that. And so this album, is it going to be all the songs from the EP and then some extra ones, or kind of a mix, or?
There might be one song from the EP that's on there. I'm not sure. But for the most part, it'll be all new music, all new beats. The name of the album is going to be called The Truth Campaign. And it really is just to let people know that everything that I say in my music is the truth.
Mm.
It's my truth. It's what I actually live, what I've actually experienced, things that I actually do. A lot more thought, a lot more idea, concept for that album versus the EP is just some songs that are just kind of let this hold you over until the album.
So is the EP, like, are those songs, like, is it a theme, or are they just kind of like more random songs?
More random. It's more random. Just showing people my different styles. So you listen to Can't Stop. That was me kind of singing melodic a little bit. And then you heard Holy Moly, which was just me just straight up rapping.
Yeah.
So it was just showing people my different styles that I have and what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
So that when they expect the album, they can know they can expect maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But you know, I can pretty much do any style.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's dope.
Really, so I'm excited. Great. I'm excited for the EP. I hope it reaches as many ears as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that when they listen to it, they can feel good. They can feel good about themselves. Yeah. They don't feel degraded. They don't feel like their worth isn't up here, you know, because as far as like being a low-key underground rapper right now. Yeah. That's my goal. It's just to uplift people, make them feel good, make them feel inspired, help them get through things. And
Well, as we wrap up, do you have a performance coming up anytime soon that people can see you live?
No, not yet. We'll have some things in the works, especially when the EP, we'll probably have an EP release listening party.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be some details of that about that coming up soon. But y'all probably will perform pretty much every song that's on there. And then from there, hopefully the more I put my music out there, more opportunities will come. And people become more familiar about what I'm doing.
That's cool. That's cool. Well, I know I'll be looking out for the EP and then the album for sure. For sure. Huge fan. Huge fan.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, y'all, we are all out of time for today's show. Thank you so much, Meech, for coming and for sharing.
Of course. Thank you for having me. This is a dope show. Ran by a super dope host. So y'all keep listening to the show.
I appreciate it.
It's gonna be more fire, more heat. You know, I'm just one of many great artists that are going to be on here. So I'm just thankful for the opportunity. And yeah, hope y'all have a great day.
For sure. Appreciate it. If you were unable to tune in at the beginning of this interview, I just want to let everyone know that this episode was pre-recorded. Meech's EP entitled Hit'em, that is H-I-T-M, was released back at the end of August. You can find his EP on SoundCloud, Apple Music, Spotify, Google Play, YouTube, Pandora, and pretty much any other place where you like to listen to music. You can support Meech by following him on Instagram at Meech Rhodes, that is M-E-E-C-H-R-H-O-D-E-S. To hear this interview again, all you have to do is go to KBOO's website at kboo.fm/expressyourself, or you can search for Express Yourself on Google Play and iTunes. The songs that were played in this interview were Express Yourself by N.W.A., Can't Stop and Holy Moly by Meech Rhodes, and the song playing behind Meech Rhodes' freestyle was Still Not a Player by Big Pun. For Express Yourself and KBOO Community Radio, I am Jai. Thank you so much for listening.
KBOO Community Radio is having our annual book and record sale on November 23, 2019 to raise funds with support from the Willamette Week Give Guide. The sale will be located at Lagunitas Portland Community Room at 237 Northeast Broadway from 12 p.m. until 9 p.m. From classic books to coffee table books,